We continue in our scripture reading in the Gospel of Mark. Today we come to Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27 and going to verse 1 of chapter 9. You'll find this in your pew Bible on page 1073. Now this is a great moment in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Really, it's the culmination, together with the transfiguration that follows, of the opening phase of his ministry as he gathers his disciples and he challenges them as to their belief in him. And Peter gives the answer. We call it the Great Confession. Matthew's version's a little longer. In Matthew, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here he says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the divine Savior." That is the Great Confession. Now, again, it's very relevant as a longer record of this given in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus responds to Peter's confession by saying, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Peter, Petros, means rock. Now, on that basis, the Roman Catholic Church claims that Peter is the basis of the church. And, of course, Peter's office, which is called the Vicar of Christ, becomes the office of the head of the church in Christ's absence, hence the Pope. Now, that's a great blasphemy, frankly. For one thing, we can be sure that it's not what Jesus meant, because when he said, "You are Peter, you are Petros, rock, and on this rock I will build my church," Jesus did not say, "You are Petros, and on this Petros." He said, "You are Petros, a rock, and on this Petra, the bedrock, namely his confession of faith, I will build my church." Peter is not the basis of the church. Neither is the Pope the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. His vicar, as it were, is the Holy Spirit, the other helper who John's Gospel tells us has come. And it is the gospel profession that is the basis of the church of Jesus Christ. That's why we insist on proclaiming the gospel. Now, one way you can know that Peter now is not the head of the church is what happens afterwards. Jesus, as always, responds to their faith by reminding them of the crucifixion that is to come. And he tells them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and he must be killed. And 3 days later, he would arise. And Peter, not understanding this, begins to rebuke him. Maybe it had gone to his head a little bit. And he begins to rebuke the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus does not say, "Well, Peter, you're the head of the church now. I just said I'm going to establish everything on you. So if you say that's not the right doctrine, then we'll change the doctrine to fit you." That is not what Jesus says. In fact, he rebukes him severely when acting in unbelief. Verse 33, "Get behind me, Satan. You have not the things of God, but the things of man." No, Peter does not hold an office on which the church is based. It is confessing Peter. It is the gospel profession on which Jesus will build his church. Now, Jesus goes on and makes some vitally important statements. I fear that we often forget that it's the whole point of this, if we are to profess faith in Jesus, we are coming to the cross, not only to believe on his death, but then to suffer death with him. And he makes a statement that whoever would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will find it. Let us not forget that at the end of the year. We are called out of the world to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might die together with him and then live through his resurrection. Well, the great statement of this passage comes at its beginning when Jesus asked them the question that he asked us. Who do you say that I am? The answer to that question, who do we say that Jesus Christ is? Who is he and what did he do for us? It is the question of questions on which all things hang. Well, with these things in mind, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 27 of Mark 8. "And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they told him, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered him, 'You are the Christ.' And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.